body. And hey, that was a joke. I don't know that I am the big toe. I might just be the middle toe. You know, I don't know. I think my mic's on. Did y'all hear that joke? It was funny. Wasn't it funny? You're like, it really wasn't. Thank y'all so much for praying for me and my family. As part of the reason why I was gone was taking care of my family. Being able to take care of my mom as she lost her mom was an awesome privilege. Since I live 1,000 miles away from home, I don't get to do a lot of those kind of things. I also got to share the gospel in a place where people weren't expecting it. You know, I was right by the bar and the buffet where I got to speak and share the gospel. And so it was really cool, cool opportunity to share with my family. Thank you for being understanding as a church family and supportive and prayerful. And I'm just going to read it. It says, "Your kind expression of sympathy means so much. Thanks. We are so blessed and grateful to have such a wonderful church family. Thank you all so much for all the prayers, food, time, love, and support given to our family during the loss of my brother. We love each and every one of you, Brian and Carol Edwards and family." So, Christ Community Church, just keep loving folks. Church doesn't have to be that difficult or complex. When people are hurting and you know that they need love, just love them, just like what we do. Amen? Now we get an opportunity just to worship God. And for everybody who's visiting or your first time and all these things, or you ain't been here in a bit, I just want to re-invite you to be free. Re-invite you to put your mind on the great big God who loves you so much. And we're going to sing praises to Him. And I just invite you just to make yourself at home. Relax. Exhale. As Miss Rosemary walks in with her oxygen. Don't even need it. That's what I'm talking about. Wow. This like just turned into a healing service. Anyways, that's awesome. And I'm sorry. I'm fired up. I haven't been here, so I have this whole built up of goofy pastor stuff in me, okay? But anyways, love y'all. Let's pray. Father, as we're here, because you called us and you've allowed us. We're here because you're awesome. As we worship, Father, may our response not be just to listen to a really great band, but our response to talk and lift our words and our songs up to a really great God. And we love you, Lord. Give us freedom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I am, who is worthy, I know we come with a lot of stuff on our mind, but I wonder, in the light of these last two songs, if you have something that you just want to say, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord, for the cross. But there's a lot of other stuff. Thank you, Lord. You know, my baby child, who's trying to convince me that she doesn't need to be in church right now, turns 9-year-old today. You know, thank you, Lord, for my baby girl. Thank you, Lord, for my church family. Thank you, Lord. Do y'all have stuff like that? It can go for a long time. Do y'all have stuff like that that you can just be thankful about? Hey, there's a whole lot of non-thankful in this world. You know, you can be thankful. It'll make you different in a heartbeat. All right? So if you mean it and you got it in your heart, on three, let's just say thank you, Lord. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
His prayer. Thank you.
I've missed being here on Sunday. It's just good. I'm glad to be back. Okay, Nani's class. Nani, are you ready? Nani's class, are you ready? Ready, break! Here they go. Youngins on parade. I don't always do this, and I don't know why I'm doing it now. It might be exhaustion, but I'm taking my shoes off. So I'm going to be the barefooted socked preacher. And just excuse me, I have no reason or rhyme. Somebody asked me today, because I preached earlier this morning, and I did the same thing. They said, why you take your shoes off when you preach? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't always do it, but I just am today. So if you smell something weird, it's probably not me. It's probably somebody closer to you decided to take their shoes off too, emboldened by my example. So we are going to start a series on grace. And y'all, I'm so excited just to talk to you about the grace of God. I'm saved and I'm happy because I'm saved by grace, not by my works, not something that I had to achieve, not something that I have to maintain. I'm saved 100% by grace, which enables me to say thank you, Lord, and be happy in Jesus and not walk around all frowny face, sour. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't have my arms folded up here. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I'm just saying, I can be happy and saved. I can be joyful and saved. I'm glad that I'm saved because God saved me by His grace. He's not asking me to perform. I'm not His trained monkey. I'm a child that He adopted. And He loves me. And that's grace. So we're going to start off and we're going to share this definition of grace. I have a working definition that I like. And I use grace and I use mercy to describe because those are different things. But when we define them together, we can sometimes get a better idea of what they're about. And y'all have heard me say it before, but we'll just do it again. Grace and mercy. I'll do mercy first, okay? Mercy. Mercy is when you've done wrong and you deserve to be punished. And the just punishment that you earned through doing wrong is held back and not given to you. It's held back. You did it. You did the crime. You ought to do the time. But it's held back. That's mercy. Okay? That's mercy. He's saying, no, I'm not going to give it to you. I know you deserve it. Y'all, I can tell you personally, I don't have to ask anybody else. My testimony says this. I deserved hell. The wages of sin is death. And I was rich in sin. I was cashing checks in sin all the time. It was vocational sin. And I was on salary. I was a company man, and I was just getting paid all the time in sin. And the just desert, the punishment, was held back because it was put on to Christ, who I imagine is standing right here, okay? It was put on to, that's why we sing about the cross. That's why we rejoice, because the mercy, He held it back. Now, grace, which is our topic, is when we've done bad. We don't deserve it. And by nature, we're people who resist God, and yet God, having held back the punishment, extends the invitation, the opportunity, the adoption to be a part of His family. Grace is receiving the gift you've never deserved. Grace, like in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, the boy who said to his daddy, "You're not dying fast enough for me, old man. I want my inheritance right now." I know if my kids come and say that, I'd be, "Get out." Either that or I'd pull out my wallet and give them a 20 and say, "There you go. You got it, Bubba. You ain't getting to a faraway land on that." Anyway, he goes. He didn't do right. He comes back expecting to be made a slave in his father's house. And what does his father say? He didn't say, "Go up into the shack with the rest of the slaves and I'll give you some slop to eat." What did he say? He said, "My son, I love you. I've been waiting for you. And now that I see you, here's sandals for your feet, a robe, a ring, a feast." It's grace. Grace. It's pouring out. It's abundant. It's a gift that you don't deserve. It's a gift that you can't buy. It's a gift that you can't earn. It simply extended you from God. Okay? Y'all get it? Mercy is the holding back of a punishment we deserve. Grace is the outpouring of a gift we don't deserve. I don't deserve to be called a child of God. I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to be in amongst you, even in this assembly. According to the law, in Deuteronomy 23, An illegitimately born child never gets to come into the assembly of the saints. Never. Not to the 10th generation. Never. That curse, that gift of adoption that brings me into the family, that's grace. Y'all get it? So we're going to go to where grace begins. If you have if you got a handout, a bulletin, inside is an outline of today's service. We're going to be in Psalm 139. And we're going to talk about where grace begins. Okay? Wonderful thing about grace is it doesn't begin with you and me. I mean, how can it be a gift from God if it began with us, right? But most of us think it's, you know, like God was invented whenever we came to know God. Well, I got saved when I was 19, and so, you know, that was in 1994, and so God was invented in 1994 because no one really knew God before me. You know, that's sometimes how we think. That's how I thought, just off the record. I was such an obnoxious, young, new Christian, acting like I was the first person who ever knew God and experienced grace and heard about Jesus. It was wonderful to be so blissfully ignorant and obnoxious all at the same time. I don't think I'll ever be able to do that again. I won't be able to claim it. But grace starts way before you know God. Grace goes way back. Listen to this psalm. Psalm 139. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's 24 verses. It's good for you. Read the Bible. It's good for you. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down. You know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell at the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be as light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly, for your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. But search me, O God. And know my heart, try me, and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's the word of God. Let's pray. Father God, take your word, through your spirit, we pray. I pray you would take your word through your spirit, apply it to our heart, expound in us how awesome it is to know you, how great you are. Father, you are awesome. Your grace is sufficient for everything, for eternity. And help us to rejoice at how freely you give it. And Father, I pray that no one would miss out on the grace that you have. That no one would continue in self-deception or rejection of you. Father, that no one would leave out of here not saying you are awesome and willing to trust you with their whole life. Father, we love you and we give you all the praise. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all, the grace begins with God. The great seeker. You know, we got, people call our church a seeker-sensitive movement or a seeker-sensitive church. You know, because we try to be accommodating to visitors, which to me doesn't need any other label except for hospitable and nice, right? I mean, that's a good way of looking at it. But can I tell you who's really seeking? Who's seeking more than the church? Who's seeking more than anything? God seeks us. Christ came from heaven to earth to find and save the lost. That's how he reported his mission. I've not come, he says, to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. And in another place he says, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's a seeker, man. God is after us. Long before I knew God, long before I was an ignorant, obnoxious, brand new baby Christian, I was somebody on God's radar, even though he wasn't on mine. I was somebody he was after. I was somebody he was calling to. I was somebody he was interested in. And you know what? So are you. A lot of what brought this home for me was, so is my grandmother. My grandmother stepped into eternity. Not this past Monday, but the Monday before. My mom's mom, who was a wonderful grandmother to me, she stepped off into eternity. She had never made a profession of faith. Not that I know of. In my lifetime, I've only known her to be hostile towards God because she got hurt at a church. Hurt at a church pushing religion. Hurt at a church telling her she wasn't good enough. Heard at a church that said because she was divorced, she was a failure. Heard at a church that had all this condemnation to hang over her. And she bought it, hook, line, and sinker, and decided to paint that onto God. And she stepped off into eternity. But I can tell you this, as I thought about it and as I prayed on it, I know this one thing. God was after her. God was still after her. And she had dementia, and at the end, she wasn't accessible to us. Does that make sense? Y'all have been there. You've seen people go through that. And they get closed in and they're kind of shut off to the outside world. And so it made everybody start thinking, well, is it too late? Can anything happen? And all these things. And I started thinking about the grace of God. And I'm convinced of this. From the time of conception to the time that we leave, he's after us and we are always accessible to him. My grandmother had the information. She heard the gospel. I shared the gospel with her years ago. That's how I knew she was hostile, because she had some choice words. She let me know that she wasn't interested in that. But I know this. God was after her. And even though we lost contact with her, I don't want to give up hope. I'm not going to put her in heaven. I'm not going to put her in hell. It's not my job, and I thank God for that. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hope in Christ. I'm going to hope in the God who is after her. And you know, when we lost contact, he didn't. We said our long goodbye and she was inside her mind, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but God was still able to speak with her. I don't know where you are, but let me tell you, let me convince you about grace. It's bigger than you know. It starts from the very beginning, before you, before me. It goes to the very end. It'll be here after you, after me. God is after us the whole time, okay? And he knows us. We're not going to go through all this, but listen, just, he knows who you are. I mean, if he knew David, he's the creator of all things, he knows you too. He knows who you are. He knows what you've done. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you will do. He knows what you thought, what you're thinking. Even right now, as you look at this big, goofy preacher that he called for unknown reasons besides just being gracious, and you're wondering, I wonder how long this guy's going to go on like this. It's crazy. He knows you're thinking that. You who came here for the hot chick, he knows you're thinking that. You might as well square up with him. He knows. He knows it all. Okay? He just knows. He knows what you've said, what you're saying, and what you will say. And let me tell you something about why I am so glad about that. See, we have this image. Religion gives us the idea of this. If God really knew me, he wouldn't accept me. Let me tell you, if God really doesn't know you, he's not really God. Because part of the attributes of God is that he knows. He's omniscient. He knows. That's just a characteristic of him. So anything you think you got in your closet, you know, I know some people have whole skeletons, not just bones, like whole skeletons, like on clothes racks, like slid in there. Oh, this is from the 80s, and this is from the... He knows. There's nothing you can hide from him. He knows. Can I tell you what's awesome? Is he still forgives you. He still offers his grace. He still gives the gift. We're like, oh, if he knew that, he would never let me into heaven. There's a country song that I like. I can't remember. I think it's older. Like, not old, older, but older. And it's the one about, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. Daddies don't just love the children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Y'all feeling me? All right, ready? Y'all ready to do it? Right, okay. Right off. Right, I see the lighter. Appreciate that. Brian, put your shirt back on. No. That's too much. It's too much. In that song, he says, I've died and I'm standing before the pearly gates. And it says, if they knew half the stuff that I did, they would never let me in. And that's when he says, from the other side of the wall, the other side of the gate, he heard that song again. Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. Can I tell you a secret about grace? Grace is not ignorant of what you've done and what you thought and what you said. Grace is so well informed. It's so complete. It knows. It wouldn't be much of a gift to give you a forgiveness that depended on you keeping all your sins secret from God. How long are you going to maintain that? Hey, parents, you can't even keep your secret sins from your kids. They'll find you out, right? They'll snoop. They'll ask. You ever have awkward questions? I'm not even going to go into some that my 9-year-old is perfect. She's perfect. Especially at asking those questions that make you go, ooh, yeah, okay, we can we answer that later? When you're 27? Not just 7? You know, but anyways, it's look, God knows it all and decided to give you grace and invite you into his family anyway. Even the sin that you forgot, he hasn't forgotten, but he said he'll forgive it all and disregard it. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing hidden from him. He's awesome. And can I tell you about his grace? That to me says it's 100% effective. Not only is it complete in its knowledge, but it's complete in its effectiveness. God's not only all-knowing, but he's all-powerful. And he knows how to save completely. He knows how to take everything you and I have done, said, thought, that was contrary to his will, that was sinful, that was on purpose or on accident, doesn't matter. And he just says, I'll take it all. I'll take care of it all. 100%. I don't know if y'all have seen the new Spider-Man movie, but I'm a nerd, so I have seen the new Spider-Man movie because I go to those kind of things. So I laid my money down, went and saw Spider-Man. Spider-Man is trying to rescue a boat that has been cut in half by lasers. So this is a true story, right? So he is flying, he's jumping back and forth like spiders do. Psst, psst, and he's webbing all these things together. And he's pulling it together, and he's doing a great job, right? I mean, he's spider sweating and all this stuff, you know, and he's holding these webs together and all this stuff. And he has like this computerized suit in this new movie. I'm sorry if that, anyways, you'll see it. He has a computerized suit, right? And so it talks to him, and it says, congratulations, you are 98% effective. And he goes, like we would all do. Imagine if you got 98% on a test, right? You're like, if we got 90%, what if your spouse said you're 98%, you know, good at stuff? You'd be like, thank you. 98% of my sermons are okay. Oh, 98% sounds pretty good. But right after it said, congratulations, you're 98% effective, the boat starts coming apart again. Because a boat on water, it's not just, you know, the hull of it was destroyed. It's not going to float. The 2% that was still lacking was sinking the boat. Can I tell you about our salvation? It's 98% won't cut it. If 98% of your sin is forgiven, you still got enough to sink you. We need 100% taken care of from beginning to end. And there's no one and nothing can do that but God and His grace. But the awesome news is He does it. He's 100%. He knows. And y'all, do y'all get that? I want to stop real. Do you understand that His 100% is based on knowing you 100%? It's not based on ignorance at all. He doesn't brush anything under the rug. It's all based on knowing you and forgiving you and loving you. I love that. I love that He knows who I am and it forgives me anyways. I love that He knows where I am. Not just who I am, but where I am. He knows where I am and He forgives me anyway. Did you hear that long litany of if I go here and if I go there and if I'm on the mountains, if I'm in the valley, if I'm in heaven or I'm in hell, if I'm on the seashore, wherever, He knows. There's nowhere I can go where He doesn't know where I am. That again got me thinking about my grandmother, like I said earlier. She was in a place we couldn't get to her. I was standing in the same room with her, holding her hand, talking to her, rubbing her head, and yet she was so far away from me. Matter of fact, one of the funny things that happened, because funny things happen in all parts of life. So I'm holding my grandmother's hand, and I'm talking to her. And all of a sudden, she takes her hand, my hand in it, and she puts it on her cheek like this. And I thought, oh, what a sweet little moment that we're having. And then she went, hello? Who's this? No, I'm gonna have to call you back. And I'm like, okay, you know. Grandma and I are not in the same place in Grandma's mind. But my grandma, in her dementia, could not outrun the Spirit of God. Even in the isolation of disease, you can't outrun the Spirit of God. I want to talk about loneliness because it's epidemic. People experience it. I experience it. We experience it. You can be in this room right now and feel terribly lonely. You can be in a marriage and feel terribly lonely. You can be in a family, a good family, and yet feel like no one knows who you are. You could be really popular and yet feel very hollow, very empty inside. You might feel like nobody knows where you are. You could be going through a divorce and feeling that isolation and that emptiness. You could be in a one, you could have lost a loved one and feel like I'm in this isolation, in this empty place that nobody can know. But can I tell you, God knows. God knows where you are. In that place where you're like, nobody understands, nobody will hear me, no one's working with me, this doesn't work, I can't take it. God knows where that place is too. Sickness, loneliness. These are not things that God can't get to. Depression. You know, I was reading this and they said, sometimes it's not good to tell depressed people, depressed, lonely people, that, hey, if you don't do some of these bad activities like get drunk or get high because you're depressed and stuff, maybe you could live longer. But if you're depressed, you might not want to be living longer. I mean, it just occurred to me, I'm like, that might not be a great solution for somebody. Hey, you can live longer being really depressed and really lonely and really hurt and really sad and really alone. You can live for decades and decades longer and longer. That don't help. What if we tell them about the grace of God that says you don't got to be alone? Maybe nobody else will know you, but God will. Maybe your only friend for right now will be God. Can I tell you, if your only friend is God, you're not in a bad place. If you got in your mind that your only friend is God, the only one you can confide in, the only one you can talk to, if God's the only one, that's a good thing. That's a good start. That's grace. Two, He will provide somebody. Because God uses people. He'll provide somebody for you to talk to. He'll provide somebody. Somebody good to talk to. Don't anybody go out here justifying some kind of weird fling on, you know. The pastor said I'd find somebody, and I just found Mercedes, and she was on the internet, and she's such a good person. Okay, chill on that, right? Just chill. What I'm talking about is good, healthy, wholesome, building up Christ-like relationships. He has people who can speak into your life, all right? Don't give up because you're depressed. Don't give up because you're lonely. Don't give up because you're lost. Christian, don't give up because you've fallen into the flesh. Great day in the morning. I've had a horrible time just getting into myself, getting into selfish mode, getting into pity mode, getting into I'm on a sin mode over this time and justifying it and feel like, oh, I can't do anything for the Lord. Why? Because he didn't know I was a sinner? Why? Because he didn't know I could get selfish and in the flesh? No. You can't even hide from God there. He knows where you are. Somehow or another, Christians who sin are able to pile up such condemnation against themselves that it's ridiculous. Let it go. Come back to Christ. The Bible says the way you began with Christ, which is by faith and grace, that's the way you walk in Christ, by faith and grace. You're not lost to God when you mess up, even when it's on purpose. In church, we always act like our sin's on accident. I accidentally sinned the other day. No, you didn't. Who are you lying to? You were like, Lord, forgive me in advance as I dive headlong into this sin. Come on, be real. Right? If His grace won't take care of that, His grace probably didn't take care of anything else, and it's phony anyway. If our gospel doesn't save people from sin, it's not much good news anyway. God not only knows who you are, He knows where you are, and He knows why you're here. He knows why you're here. Those verses, 13 through 16, I'm not going to read them again, but just, it wouldn't be a bad thing to write them down, memorize them. If you have a birthday and you've ever gotten a card from me, that's the letter. The letterhead has that verse on there. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and this my soul knows very well, because God has a purpose for us. And it's become more and more like Christ. Not more and more like Big John. The best that Big John can be is a big, fat sinner. Okay? I've tried it, and I've tried it. I need to become like Christ, and then nobody can make me like Christ but Christ. But He made me for that purpose. He made you for that purpose. He's given you your surroundings. He's given you the resources to be Christ in the place where He planted you, and He can do that. Okay? But y'all, you are not without purpose. You have a purpose. He formed you on purpose. That's why I say from conception to the grave, He's seeking us. From conception to the grave, He wants to know you. And He wants to be known through you. Y'all get that? I don't want to go on unless we get that. We get that, right? Because sometimes they say a lot of the loneliness and depression we feel is because we're not attached to something bigger. We're not involved in something bigger than ourselves, that we've lost a purpose for our life. Well, if you lost a purpose for your life, it's because you're not looking in the Word and you're not considering why God made you. And I'm not condemning you, I'm just telling you. Because you got a purpose. Everybody in the world bears the image of God. Everybody. So everybody deserves the dignity of somebody who is bearing the image of God. If you've been called out to be a Christian, you've been called to be shaped into the image of Christ. There's no higher purpose. None. Not being the president and making it great. It's going to be huge. Nothing is higher than becoming more and more like Christ. No higher calling. And you don't got to be rich. You don't got to be smart. I prove this. I'm rich, not smart. Yet He's forming me more and more like Christ. Now I want to talk about responses. Really, this chapter records three responses. I'm only going to touch on two, because the one in the middle is so radical with the imprecatory prayer. It's like, kill him, Lord! Kill him, I hate him! I'm like, yeah, we'll explain that in a small group setting, okay? We're going to take on the response of being at awe about who God is and then fully surrendering ourselves to God, okay? So right now is the time. It's the time I'm going to ask you to be paying attention to what God's saying to you right now, okay? I'm going to ask you to be sensitive to what you might feel like God's doing, because God wants us to respond to His Word. God has an invitation for us. He knows us and He loves us. And the two key responses are to look at Him and be in awe. Say, "You're awesome." The psalmist David writes, "How precious are your thoughts, me, O God. How great is the sum of them." In other words, he looks at God and he sees a great big God. Like we sang about right from the beginning of the service, the great I am. And when we see God and experience His grace, it's not that we go, "Ha-ha, I got me something. I took advantage of God. I'm going to steal His grace away and I'm going to do something." It's to say, "Wow, if I was you, I wouldn't have forgave me. And the fact that you did is awesome. And you're awesome. And God, I just love you." And you start to overwhelm. Look, when we don't look at God often, we begin to think that our problems are bigger than our God. We begin to think that our lusts are more attractive than our God. We begin to think that our hurts are more than God can heal. But when we look on to God, we become awe-inspired and say, "No one is like God. No hurt is bigger than God can heal. No lostness is so far away that God can't save. Nothing, no sin and no problem is too big for God, because my God started this way back from the beginning with me and had a plan from the time I was conceived, and He'll begin to seek me, and He seeks me even until the end. And He never stops, because He's awesome. God is awesome." I almost feel like I want to be threatening like right now. Like, "I said God's awesome." I wish I was Mr. T right now. "Mr. T said God's awesome." When we look at God, when we look at Him, He's awesome. The second response is simply surrender. Y'all know what this means, right? What does this mean? What does it mean? You're like, "I don't," means you're sweating. I see rings around your armpits. What does it mean? It's international sign for surrender. You better know this, right? Surrender. Surrender. I surrender. I give up. I am not fighting against you. I want to cooperate with you. Look, if you are, you know, if somebody pulls a gun and they're like, "Hey," you're like, "Hey, you got a gun. I am cooperating now with you. What do you want? You want my wallet? Cool, whatever. I'm cooperating," right? That's the sign for that. Can I tell you that God, who loves us and who graces us, should be the person we cooperate more with than any other? But I don't know if you noticed, even in this psalm, it seems like human nature is to flee from Him. Because David keeps saying, "Even if I go here and if I fly there and I try to find, where can I go? Where can I get away from you?" It's like, you can't. So you might as well surrender now. Great response to God is to surrender. That's how we surrender. Just know me. Search me out. If there's any wicked way in me, correct me. The first sign of surrender is being willing to be corrected. I know people who get offended if they're called a sinner. "You sinner. You preacher said I was a sinner." No, God said you're a sinner. Does that make you feel better? Be correctable. Let God correct you. That's being surrendered. The next is to let God direct you. Not only let Him correct you, but let Him direct you. "Lead me," it says, "in the way everlasting." You lead me. You show me the way. You ever heard that joke where it says, you want to make God laugh? Tell Him what you're planning. Sometimes we just need to let God lead the way. I said sometimes. See how even the preacher's brain betrays him in his words? When is it a good time to not let God lead you? How about this? When you're, because we all do it, when you're dealing with your spouse and things are tense and you're right and she's wrong. Well, that's the situation I live in. And yet, to be happy, what do you got to do? To move forward, what do you got to do? Hey, do I lose anything? If I'm not right, do I lose anything if I have to apologize? Do I become less in the sight of God? Do I become less a man? Why is it that when we fight with our spouse, we don't let God lead? You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Just let Him lead. Let Him lead. And when you're talking to Him, be like, "Hey, I love you." She's like, "I'm mad at Him. I love you." "Well, you can't love me now." Well, I don't know what she's going to say. How do you fight that?
You can't do it. I'm going to do it. God's leading. I'm just going to forgive you. You can't forgive me. I can forgive you. I can forgive you. I can forgive me. I can forgive us. I can forgive we because God forgave me. Let God lead. When you're dealing with your kids, when you've given them not the second chance, not the we don't have enough fingers and toes out, right? Amen. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Patience. I love how it says in the old Bible, it says long suffering, which you just reverse and says to suffer long. Hey, you got a couple decades of suffering. And then go talk to some of these people whose their kids are out, and they're like, a couple decades, you're going to suffer the rest of your life. Welcome to parenthood. Well, why don't you let God lead in that? Right? Don't suffer alone. God wants to suffer right along with you. Bring other people into that. Bring the Lord into that. Let God lead. What about when you have enemies? People who just purposely tick you off. Why don't you let God lead? See, Christianity is not just all that wonderful kumbaya stuff. It's man, it's right here, right now. And what you say, what you do, let him lead. Lead me in the way everlasting. That's how we surrender. All right, now's your time, okay? So the band's going to come up. They've been waiting because I said now's the time like 25 minutes ago. If you need to respond to God in any way, if you just need to acknowledge that he's been after you and you want to surrender your life to him just by saying, Lord, I want to give you my life because I've never been born again. I want to be happy and saved like Big John said we could be if we receive your grace. If you need to do that, that's you can do that here and now. It's safe, right? If you want to come and just say, it's been a long time since I've noticed how awesome God is and I've let life creep in and become really big and God really small and you want to correct that, now's your time. Come on. If you want to say, Lord, I'm sorry for how stubborn I've been in taking on some of the most important things in my life, like my marriage, my parenting, my friendship, my finances, and doing it my way when you offer to lead me. Maybe that's what you need to do and say, Lord, direct me. Whatever your response is to God, just do it. Maybe it just needs to be something simple like, sorry, Lord. God hears simple prayers. They just come right from your heart. Sorry, Lord. I don't know what it is. You don't got to tell me. You don't got to come up here. You don't got to shout it from the roof. God's listening. You respond how he leads you down. Right now, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I just pray as we're gathered here that you would give us the courage, just 2 seconds of courage to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll respond. Yes, Lord. I'll say I'm sorry. Yes, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say because you're awesome. Thank you for your grace. Maybe that's what we need to say today, Lord, is just again, thank you. Thank you, thank you for loving us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory is a place.
Y'all, God's always seeking. Grace begins with Him and His altar. He's always ready for our response too. It's been said it's always right to do the right thing. It's always the right time to respond to God. And so if He taps you tonight or later this week, just do what you do what He says. Do surrender, right? All right, I'm going to ask the ushers to come for the morning offering this morning. As they're coming, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the awesome opportunity we have, not only just to be here and worship and sing and to hear Your word, but also to respond with precious gift. What's precious to this world and in our eyes, we get an opportunity to recognize You as the source also of our material well-being and respond by giving a portion back. Thank You, Father, for taking care of us individually and taking care of us as a church. And Lord, we love You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. VBS starts tonight at 5:30, and so come on. But that means Wednesday night service is not going to be usual. It's going to be unusual. So, I mean, you can come, but VBS is going to go on, so you might get hit with something. But you'll get hit with something in the Lord, and it'll be good, okay? And maybe you'll catch something. Maybe you'll catch some of this grace. Grace is caught so much more than it's taught, and so maybe you'll catch some of that too. Let me remind you to be patient and be gracious to one another. As you leave the parking lot today, you know, our parking lot's not always the most conducive for, you know, people parking, and you might be blocked in for like a half a second, half a minute, 10 minutes, I don't know. It shouldn't happen that way, but if it does, we apologize and just ask that you use that as a time of saying, thank you, Lord, for the delay, okay? But be patient. It'll work out. I promise. No one will be stuck here, and if you are, we have food, okay? And I think that's all I have to say, except for I love you. Thanks for letting me be your pastor. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, as we continue, as we go into a time after this service of finishing getting the building ready, as we go into a time of preparing to share Your message of grace with those who are coming up our next generation, may that be the generation of grace that firmly grabs hold of how awesome you are, and they surrender and they follow because they love you. And Father, so in just anoint everything that goes on in the teaching, everything that's promoted, that grace might endure. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready, work.